Good morning, everyone. It's my turn. I'm doing something extraordinary and different. I guess I'm known for that occasionally, stepping out of bounds just a hair. But I hope that you'll get something out of this morning. What I want to do is to bring you into my bedroom. This is a bedroom story. We live downstairs in an apartment below my son-in-law and daughter over here, the Thudders. They live upstairs. And in building the apartment downstairs, we have a drop ceiling, like in an office building with a little aluminum, whatever you call them, Tom, with a... what? What are they called? Panels, okay. So there's a peculiar thing in my bedroom that because we're in the basement and there's not any light from outside, and most bedrooms are dark anyway, by definition, we like it dark when we go to sleep. And so when you turn the lights out, obviously it's very dark. And a person could stub their toe getting to the bathroom. And if you've not had an exciting event like that in your life, then you've missed out on something. But some of us have, and it's a startling revelation of how connected we are with our toes. So we have my wife has installed a little nightlight in the bathroom, and the drawer is open. And so where I am in my bed, when I get into bed and I'm on my pillow and I'm lying on my back, and I'm looking up at the ceiling. You know, someone says, I couldn't sleep. I stared at the ceiling all night. Well, on my ceiling, because of where the light is coming from to me, right on the intersection of that strip is a perfect cross. I go to bed every night with a perfect cross. I wake up every morning with a perfect cross. There's other glow in the room as a result of that little tiny nightlight, but the main thing feature in my whole room that shines more than anything else is that cross. So here's what I want you to think with me in the next few minutes, and we'll need to talk fast because someone moved the clock ahead. I want you to think, if I were in bed, going to bed every night, getting up every morning, and there above me was that cross, what would that bring to mind for you? Well, let's just start with that and just see where it takes you, because I'll share some of the things that I have thought of, and I hope it'll lead you to some things that you can think of as you, in your imagination, do the same as I do in reality, and that is to see that cross each and every evening. So let's start with something very simple, very forthright, something we're all acquainted with, and that would be John 3:16. So if a person didn't know anything else about their Bible and they saw that a cross on the ceiling, at least there's something that might come to mind right away, and that's what John has to say in chapter 3 and verse 16. We're going to read more than that because it's going to take us to launch us into our next thought. So let's just start with John 3:16 and read forward. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Now, I can't help but comment here. One, as soon as you say the word God, we're out of bounds. You and I have no idea how big and how immense, how wise, how powerful, how loving, how gracious is this word, God. We're just finite little people made out of dirt, and we can only understand just a small particle. And then when you come to the word soul, how big is soul? Can you measure it with a yardstick? What's soul mean? Well, we have to have something connected to it in order to give us some thought as to what soul means. So loved. Okay. How big is that? How wide is that? How long is that? So we jump over here and it says, so loved, gave his son. Now we know what love means. Now it has a definition. And in between that is so love the world. Oh, I understand that part. That's where you and I are at. That's where we come in. That puts us on the map. We're part of the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in God's one and only Son. So Jesus did not come to condemn. He will be back to condemn. He will come back as a judge, but here he is here as our Savior. He's come to save the world. However, the world's not very responsive. The world is not really coming to the cross. The world is not interested in Jesus. And so, although he does not come to condemn the world is condemning itself by its lack of response. It's saying that whatever God has given, I'm not interested in. Whatever that sacrifice is about, I met a man once that said, well, I didn't tell Jesus to die on the cross. I didn't have any interest in him. And if he thinks he's dying for me, he isn't, because I don't want him to. Well, do you think there's a condemnation in that? Of course there is. It's like the fellow who went to the gallery of art masterpieces, and he's walking with the attendant through there, through the gallery, and he's looked at all the wonderful masterpieces, and he says to the attendant, well, I don't think much of your pictures. And the attendant said, well, I'll remind you that these pictures are priceless masterpieces. And they are not being judged. The ones who are looking at them are being judged. The gospel is not up for negotiations. The gospel is not up for voting. God isn't on trial whether he's there or not there, or doing this or doing that. The people that are on trial are you and me. Everything else is an eternal fact. And you and I have the opportunity to accept it or to deny it, and therein is our opportunity to be blessed or condemned. Well, that was a quick point, and that was free. So anyway, we read on. Here's the verdict. Sum it all up. Bring it together. Light has come into the world, and that's when I look up and I say, there's the light. It's the only light in my bedroom. It's that cross. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does hate evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Whoever lives by truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. So light then, he said, came into the world. When did it come into the world? It came into the world in Christ Jesus. And it come in bearing a cross, because Jesus essentially said right from the start of his ministry, I have come to die. He reminded disciples on different occasions, I'm going to die. I'm going to be crucified. It didn't really ring with them. It never registered. They didn't understand it. Sometimes they tried to kick back against it, and they certainly didn't want it to happen. But it wasn't that Jesus didn't know why he was here. He came to die. He came to be crucified. And there's my light in my bedroom. And so I'm on my pillow and I'm thinking, what devotional can I reach right before my poor eyes go to sleep? God loves me more than anything else. Rest easy. Isn't that a blessing? Now, you don't have a cross in your bedroom, but think of one. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thought to go to sleep on every night? God loves me more than anything. Relax. But let's go back to the beginning. We got to go back and start at the start of this to get the import. Back in John chapter 1, we're still in John, we didn't get very far, a couple pages back. Only we're going to read something here, and I want to set the stage. So let's back up. The reason I have a cross over my bed that I can see is because the light is on and the door is open, right? Close the door. If you close the door, where am I? I'm right back where I was. I'm in darkness. If nothing ever happens, I'm in darkness. If God never opens the door, I'm in darkness. I can't change that. I'm bound by that. I'm enslaved in it. And it is God in His love, my devotion, that opened the door. At the right time, God sent His Son to die for me. When He opened the door, the light went on. And there was the cross. Let's read these words. This is the very first verse. In the beginning, that's where we're at. The door is closed. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. We're talking about Jesus. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it or apprehended it or comprehended it. People who are in darkness can't stand light. You come up out of the caves, having been there in utter darkness, they have to protect your eyes. Even a small amount of light. And he said the light came on, but it shines in the darkness, but the darkness just opposes it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. We call him John the Baptist because he baptized. He came as a witness. All right, what does his witness do? He testifies. He's a witness to testify concerning the light. Concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. So when Christmas comes, what do? We light the lights. How beautiful they are. Sometimes drive around town just to see who has who's done a little extra in putting out lights. It just decorates everything to have light. Jesus became Emmanuel, coming to earth in the flesh. He brought the light of heaven. He opened the door. And when he opened the door, there was a glow that came into darkness. And that glow included a cross that said, here's why I'm here. And this is what's going to be done. I'm going to die for the whole world. He humbled himself. Jesus did. And became obedient. Even to the death of the cross. Philippians 2:8. My devotion, I'm on my pillow. My praise. Thank you, Lord, for sending your Son and rescuing me. And I know you love me, and I can go to sleep. Isn't that wonderful thoughts? Just pillow talk. Yeah, pillow talk. Pillow thoughts. I'm going to read from John 8. These are the words of Jesus. And then I'm going to read something that some idiot wrote. That's my opinion, and I'm entitled to it. There's an amendment that says I have an opinion, right? May not be politically correct, I don't know, but the guy's an idiot. Jesus spoke again to the people and he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of light. Jesus just plainly says, I am the light of the world. Here's what the idiot says. The idea that there would be only one true light that leads God offends some. Rabbi Shmuley Botek of the Dean of Oxford and Lycum Society once said, Jesus was a great teacher, a very ethical, moral human being. Perhaps in our opinion, not a prophet, but certainly a phenomenal teacher, and Christianity is a great world religion. And while I agree he is a great light, once we say he is the only light, this is what leads to all kinds of spiritual racism and division. Nonsense. Jesus came into this world and he is the light. He is the only light. And therefore, being the only light, he's the only way, path, and directional leader that can take us to God. You're going to walk by his light or you're going to walk in darkness. Simple as that. Now I'm going over to 1 John. I'm moving right along here. 1 John chapter 1, somewhere in here. Here we go. Verse 5. This is the message. Now, what I want to, just quick comment here. He says, he's not saying this is a message, or here's some thought, or, you know, consider this. He says, this is the message. There's an emphasis on the. This is the message. You want the heart of the matter? You want the kernel, the beginning, the fundamental target, the middle of everything? This is the message. We have heard from him and declare to you. Here's what it is. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we are a liar. Whoa, be careful with that. We lie and do not live by the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, purifies us all from all sin. God is light. We say God is love. God is light. He's absolutely perfect. He's absolutely holy. He's absolutely true. Everything about the attributes of God are absolutes. And he is absolute light. So let's just add this from Ephesians. And this is chapter 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness. He doesn't say, in your bedroom, when you went to bed, because the door was shut, you were in darkness. He said you were darkness. There's a difference between in the darkness and being dark. You were darkness. Everything about you was darkness. You've bought into the whole agenda of the kingdom of darkness. And it says Satan is the one who energizes the kingdom of darkness. Chapter 2. You'll find that in the opening verses. So someone can say, well, yes, I once walked in darkness because the devil made me do it. I hear people say that. Well, the devil probably didn't make you do it, but the devil probably suggested it. How's that? You know, I read a preacher's wife. She came home. She had the receipt for a $250 dress. And the preacher said, knowing that they were struggling to make ends meet, she said, well, he said, how could you do this? Well, she said, I was outside the store looking at the dress in the window, and then I found myself trying it on. Progression, right? And it was like Satan was whispering in my ear, you look fabulous in that dress. Buy it. Well, the preacher said, you know what I do when there's a temptation like that? I say, get thee behind me, Satan. She said, I tried that. And then he said, it looks fabulous from the back, too. You know, every way you look at it. You know, the deeds of darkness are so easy to fall into and so hard to get out of. It's such an entrapment. We live in such a world that we're conditioned by darkness all around us. And I have to go to my pillow at night and look at that cross and remind that I live in a world of darkness. But there's one thing that keeps calling me to light. It's a cross. You know, the deeds of darkness are such that we have to grow up and put these aside. We have to put away the deeds of darkness. I read of a drunk husband that snuck in the middle of the night, quietly went upstairs. He looked in the bathroom mirror and he bandaged up all the bumps and bruises from the fight he had been in earlier that night. Then he proceeded to climb in the bed and he was smiling. He thought he'd put one over on his wife. Men, do you ever put one over on your wife? Let me know how you do that. I don't seem to get away with that. Anyway, he woke up in the morning, opened his eyes, and there was his wife. You were drunk last night, weren't you? No, honey. Well, if you weren't, then who put all those Band-Aids on the bathroom mirror? Sure. You think you're getting away with it. God knows the very intent and thoughts and fabric and fiber of your soul. You're not getting away with anything. And there will be no darkness where he's at. And he calls us to be children of light. We can only do that by listening to his word, growing in the spirit, fellowshipping with the people of light, joining arms, encouraging one another. And as we bless the Lord blesses us. When Stevenson wrote Dr. Jekyll and Hyde, he had discovered a drug that he could transform himself into a person who was devoid of conscience and able to wallow in every kind of vice. And he named that monster Mr. Hyde. And so anytime he wanted to become Mr. Hyde, he'd administer this drug. And likewise, any time he wanted to leave being Mr. Hyde, he would administer a drug that took him back to being Dr. Jekyll. Except that the time came that the inclination to be Mr. Hyde was so great, he couldn't recover. He couldn't recover to assume the kindly, respectable life of Dr. Jekyll. And against his will, he now became Hyde. And much as he wanted to return to the sphere of Dr. Hyde, he was unable to do so. You see, God has rescued me out of darkness into light. I have no business entertaining light. Here's what it said, and I'm going to read the rest of Ephesians. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit, the fruit of light consists in goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Rather, expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. Everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and it is light that makes everything visible. Pillow talk. A prayer. Lord, help me to walk in the light. Help me to lead others to walk in the light. We have everything to gain by giving ourselves to the God of light. And we have everything to lose by staying in darkness. And so in the morning, as I rise in the morning, it's still dark, there's that cross. Today, Lord, help me walk in the light. I can't do it alone. I need you. And I need you. And you need me. I close with Revelation 22, just a verse or two. Maybe this will be your pillow talk. They are no longer there, speaking of heaven. Any curse, the throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and the servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us. Blessing us with your love. Blessing us with your light. Blessing us by calling us the children of light. Help us to walk and live accordingly. And someday we will be with you forever. We won't need a night light because there won't be any night. There will only be the light of our Lord. And how blessed we'll be. Pray with me. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for your love and grace, love in sending your Son. Thank you, Lord, that you opened heaven's door that light might shine from your throne room into the darkness of this world. Help us to see, Lord, that the only light that exists in this world is your light. If we reject your light, we have rejected all light. And we know, Lord, that eternity will be one of two. We will either live in your light forever and ever and reign, or we're going to live in outer darkness with the door shut. Bless us, Lord, in our evening and morning devotions, even before we rise out of bed. Perhaps we can just imagine that cross up there speaking to us in whatever way it speaks to us. But I pray, Lord, that we might walk in the light as you were in the light, and we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.